Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of experience experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, and welcome to Life Lab. I'm David Ponder.
I'm Zach Schaefer.
And today we're talking about a topic that is, I think all our topics are super important, but this one is, it's critical to living a good, virtuous life.
Yeah, virtuous life for sure. Potentially self-righteous as well.
Accurate.
But, I mean, yeah, but it can also lead to just a ton of problems because our society doesn't necessarily operate this way or value this virtue as it should, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But I think that as, I mean, you're the master of understanding communication and interpersonal relationships. And I think as you advance your skills in that area, you're able to harness this and use it more correctly.
Use a version of it more correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll tell them what it is.
We'll get into it. We're talking about honesty. And per usual, we're going to go ahead and talk about the definition. Honesty refers to a facet of moral character and connotes positive and virtuous attributes such as integrity, truthfulness, straightforwardness, including straightforwardness of conduct, along with the absence of lying, cheating, theft, etc.
That's long.
That's a long one, but if you look up that's the Wikipedia definition. If you look it up in the dictionary, I get the quality of being honest. Okay, great.
That's stupid.
So it's either long or its own.
I like fairness, straightforward, and factual. To me, that's what I think of an honest person.
Okay, great.
Which I think some of those were part of that longer definition.
Yeah. It talked about the positive and the negative when it was saying, you know, you have integrity and truthfulness and you don't lie, cheat, steal, et cetera. So, yeah, I'll agree with that.
How much honesty is necessary?
Just the right amount.
Yeah, that's probably the best answer. At least to have decent relationships, it seems like.
You know, what's the movie, The Invention of Lying? Imagine a world where there is no lying, right? It's humorous because things just wouldn't work.
Or Liar, Liar with Jim Carrey? Or are you talking about something different?
I was talking about The Invention of Lying, but Liar, Liar too.
No, I'm not familiar with The Invention of Lying.
That's the one with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Wow. Yeah, you should watch it. Anyway, it becomes humorous, right? Because, like you said, how much honesty is necessary? And it's like, well, first of all, here's a conundrum.
The minimum amount, is that what you said?
Or the right amount?
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, we'll talk about that. So, first of all, here's something that I thought was interesting. We all lie, but we all consider ourselves honest. What's up with that?
Yeah. I wrote down the word percentage. So then, you know, it's like a sliding scale of honesty. If you're in a court of law and someone's saying, hey, are you an honest person? Of course you're going to say yes. Or if you're in front of your peers or a group. But then if there was some way to actually measure and capture how often we are dishonest, right? Then we can just get into the breakdown of honesty. There's dishonest, there's selective honesty, there's partial honesty, there's complete falsehoods. And, you know, so I think the way that we like to break down that term is to say, well, I'm never giving outright huge lies that hurt people. I just might do the little white lies. And we start breaking it down that way.
Yeah. And sometimes small lies are necessary to be the social lubricant, right? Because it's what someone wants to hear or needs to hear in that moment.
I think the needs to hear is important, especially thinking about marriage. Ooh, one thing we do need to say is we are going to we're going to go at a pretty fast clip here today because we're going to get back to our roots.
We are. We're going to keep this to 30 minutes. Thank Bart Bennett because he called us out and said, yeah. Hey, I thought you guys were keeping it to 30 minutes.
We're just going to juxtapose this episode versus all of our previous ones.
So let's just jump right in to the good stuff then. So what you're saying is what people need to hear, right? So we're talking about honesty as it relates to our relationships with other people. And I would say you're absolutely right. Like you need, and this is the hard part, is you have to judge what that person needs to hear, and you have to give it to them.
Right, and then that gets into our own interests. It gets tied back to that word of interests and desires and what we think is. Do we think they really need that, or is that what we really do? We just value the response from that person based on what we give them. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I 100%. So I think when I wrote up my notes, I took a couple facets of things to talk about. First, self honesty.
Okay, great. That's the most important kind, in my opinion.
And you have to address self honesty, and you have to come to a point where you are comfortable with yourself in an honest and open manner. In many ways, and we'll let's dig into that because there's plenty to talk about there. And then only once you've gotten yourself to a good place with self-honesty are you then able to really focus on others and be honest with them in the way that they need it in an unselfish manner.
Unselfish honesty.
Yeah. So
I like that phrase.
Unselfish honesty. So in that, the goal of unselfish honesty with another is the goal to give them what they need, not necessarily what they want, but what they need, not what you need. It's really hard.
I agree, but there's a flip side to that. If we're talking relationships, and I'm thinking like a marriage or a close friendship, the giving of the honesty opinion is one thing, but the way in which the opinion is sought is quite another. Because then we can pick up, by the way, Dave's asking this, I know what he's wanting me to drop down on this, right? And then it's, am I going to drop what he's looking for? And then if I do, is that honesty? No, probably not, if I feel a different way.
Well, when we talked about advancing your skill set in these social situations, this is totally part of it.
But it's not even just social.
No, but I mean, I'm even just one-on-one relationships.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm still learning this every day, which is crazy to think, you know. I'll be 37 years old this year.
God.
I've had that much time to interact with others, and I'm still learning this. That's crazy.
Well, human relationships and dynamics are very complex because we don't act based on one rationale or reason. They shift all the time, over time.
I just think it takes a long time to come to the realization of the things that we're talking about, right? So I can't be honest with someone else in the way that they need me to be if I'm dealing with some crap internally that's impacting the way that I'm messaging everything to them. It's coming through some bullshit filter because I'm having a problem myself, and I'm either projecting that onto them or I'm trying to get something out of this interaction that isn't pure, you know, it's tainted by the emotional turmoil that I'm going through at the time. Like there's so many, that's why I was like, I think you need to talk about getting self-honesty and getting yourself to a place where you are balanced and you are okay, you're happy, you're accepting the way yourself and the way you are right now so that you're emotionally neutral and that you can really focus on that other person and provide the feedback to them in the way that they need it. That's a judgment call. You have to understand, did they solicit the feedback or not? If they did solicit the feedback, how did they say it? Like you said, are they seeking something? And it's very clear the answer that they want. And then what is your relationship with that person? And do you just give them what they want? Or do you have a very good, open, honest relationship with them and you can be vulnerable with them and you know that they can be vulnerable with you and you know that they need to hear something different and you need to message it in a way? That's the other part, right? Even if you make that judgment call, like, I love this person and they know it. So I can say something to them that would that is not what they want. They don't think that they need this in the moment, but I think that they would give me the leeway to make that judgment call and say, I think you need to hear this. And then that's the hard, then the hardest part comes. How do you package it? What does the message look like? What do you say? You know?
I mean, to me, that just gets back to the goals. Everything with honesty is goals. What's the goal? Is the goal relationship maintenance? Is the goal to look smart? Is the goal to be honest? If the goal is to be honest, then that's a very different goal of relationship maintenance.
I'm going to go like highfalutin hoity-toity on you and say, if what we're talking about is true and that we're talking about an interaction with someone that we love, we've been vulnerable with, and we think that they can be vulnerable with us, then the goal is just to love them as much as we can. And that part of loving someone is telling them things that build them up and also giving them negative feedback because you're trying to help them improve as a person.
Mm-hmm. Something else is how the honest opinion is delivered is probably more important than the honest opinion itself.
Yeah, at least as important for sure. Yeah.
Right. But then let's tie it back to self-honesty, because then if you're like, well, this is just me, this is how I communicate. I'm very blunt and to the point.
That's bull. Yeah. That's
but people do that all the time.
I know. They call it brutal honesty, right? Mm-hmm. I think brutal honesty is a cop-out. Because
brutal honesty is a way to avoid being vulnerable.
It's a way to avoid being vulnerable, and it's a way – yes. And it's a way to skip the self-honesty part.
Yeah, that, which is vulnerable.
Been talking about him a lot, but he has got the book 12 Steps to Improve Your Life or whatever, Jordan Peterson. One of his is like, clean your room first, right? So before you're able to start giving messages to other people, you got to make sure that your house is in order first. And I think that this self-honesty thing that I'm talking about is just that in a specific instance. So it's just like...
What percentage are you on a normal daily basis, what I'll call total honesty?
With myself? Oh.
Just in general, with the other humans. I'll say 75% for me.
I was going to go lower. I was going to go lower because I think on a daily basis, I'm dealing in a world of...
deception?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I believe that transactional business is a world of deception.
It is.
And so when that's the world that you're, that's the baseline that you're dealing with, then I'll say like, am I honest within that framework? Yeah. 75% of the time or more, I'm delivering honest messages. But if like the baseline of what we're doing is just
bullshit. That's bullshit. That's that's a cop out. Not on your end, just because
you get what I'm saying, though, right?
Right. But then, so you're saying the truly honest person just won't be successful in business?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And maybe capitalist society.
So the most famous capitalists of our time are dishonest people.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, just think about it this way. You're 16 years old, or we were 16 when we got our first jobs, and we'd show up to work. The boss walks up. How's it going? Oh, I'm great. I'm just happy to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no, I'm not. This is the last place in the world I want to be making minimum wage. I don't know, making $4.25 an hour or whatever we were. But yeah, like if you're doing customer service and the customer is always right, you got to smile and put on a face and act. You're an actor. And you don't want to be there. You don't want to do that. Like, can you imagine if you were actually saying the things that you...
Interesting. So up to this point, in my head, it seems like we were talking about rational honesty, factual honesty, talking about situations and opinions and analyses, the analytic side of the brain. What you're now talking about is emotional honesty and dishonesty. There's a really good book written that's all about emotional labor, specifically jobs where the job is to fake positive emotions.
Yeah.
Right? And so any service industry, but then there's the book was written, Hothschild is the name of the author. I can't think of the name of the book, but it was looking at airline attendants stewardesses and how they just have to completely fake it. And then they extend it to healthcare and nurses. But that emotional labor, like, so let's think about that. Faking emotions, that's dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably more difficult than just omitting some facts or selecting some partial facts and not sharing the whole picture.
Absolutely. I'm about to go to a conference, and the way I feel at the end of most conferences is drained. Why? Because I've had to be quote unquote on
to performance
for days. Yeah. Like you can never, I always like, I can never let my guard down. I can never, but no, what's the real truth? I can never just be me. I can never just...
It's a performance. It's the same thing as going to watch something at the Fox Theater here in St. Louis. What if those people in the middle are just like, I'm fucking stressed right now. Just give me a sec here, folks. I just need to be me. And then they jump back into character. You're in a character.
And I think it's because the quality of the relationships with the people that I am around is so surface level. It is so... It's a veneer, you know what I mean? Like, if it were you and I and a bunch of our close friends and we were going to a conference and it was with people and we were doing business, we were doing the same transactional business, but with people that we had real relationships with, that we were open and honest and vulnerable with in different areas and facets of our lives, and we knew strengths and weaknesses of each other and whatever, then we could do that transactional business in a way that would be much more truthful and honest, and we could cut to the point a lot quicker, and we could leave a conference like that and feel like ourselves, feel okay. But man, when you are dealing with people that you don't have any kind of a real connection with, it makes everything more complicated. More work.
Well, it ties back also. We could tie in personalities and behaviors and all of that kind of fun stuff. But at the end of the day, for me, and that was for you, Gary, when you listen to this, truth is honesty's cousin, right? And truth is like poetry. Everybody hates fucking poetry, right? And so honesty's just maybe a vehicle to get to truth. Well, then that's going to be a vehicle that's less traveled and less used, because at the end destination is something we're all participating. What I'm hearing you say is that we're all participating in this facade. We all know we're participating, but nobody wants to cut through the shit and be like, what are we doing? I'm here because I want this from you. You want this from me. Can we just say that? Here's how I can deliver it. I don't want to do all this tiptoeing and tap dancing. Is that what you're saying? But we don't want to get there. But then people that have made it in the business world that can do that, we respect them. They're like, damn, they cut through it.
Absolutely.
So how do they do it? How do they? Because that is not the norm.
Not only is it not the norm, it's what you're taught not to do. What is right side up thinking? Yeah. Don't tell them what you actually want.
Right.
Pretend that you want what they want.
Put them at the center of everything.
Right. And it's like, that's not business.
No, it's fake.
If you did that, you would go out of business instantly. Think about if you followed through with that, right? You'd be like, hey, they're like, so you're going to do this project for me. I'm really happy. You know, like, what's your pricing? Well, since I'm putting myself in your shoes, zero. I'm going to do this for you for free.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. So I don't know, man. It is all just, yeah, the people who can cut through it. And here, that's the trick. Cut through it, get to the point, and still make the other person feel like their needs and wants are somehow being met, and how make it somehow seem
to
fair.
Get to your lovey-dovey stuff. Yeah. Because I love you, I'm going to communicate this candidly.
Yeah, and I suppose there's tricks to it, right?
Well, of course, no.
Like,
just
like
skill.
Be vulnerable.
There's just skill. Well, yeah, of course, there's strategy to it. Yeah. But then there's just experience, just doing it over time and honing your own message. And it's got to be you. It can't be. Some people just like to play that game. They want to tap dance. They're a political maneuverer, right? Look at all attorneys and the people in of our political system. That's what they're good at. So they don't want to cut through it all. They get something out of the dance, if that makes sense.
I think if you look at large organizations, a majority of the people in leadership positions fall into that.
Well, I don't want to stereotype.
No, yeah. That's based on my experience, but
yeah. Well, do you have when you're in the social world, not in your marriage, but out with friends or business acquaintances at a conference, and someone says something? Now, you're pretty argumentative, to be quite honest, so you'd probably just argue. in a tactful way. But if somebody says something that you're like, this is bullshit or I disagree, is there any word or phrase or response you can use to, instead of just tear them down or attack them, that you can say? I've identified three where you can still be somewhat honest because you're not saying anything, but you're saying a whole lot by using these three responses.
Mine would be like the Socratic method would be one, right? So start questioning the foundation of what they are saying.
Right. Again, because you're argumentative. That's mm-hmm. what you would do. Mm-hmm. Here are the three that I have identified.
That's a good one.
When people go, after they've heard something, it's because they fucking disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is this. Silence. Being silent, you're trying to process, and there's something going on. Usually this, like, huh, this is weird. Red flag in my head, but I'm just going to be silent because they can't say anything about what I think or don't think about this if I'm just silent. But here's the best one, and start paying attention to this word, people. You using it and having it used to you. Interesting. The way people use the word interesting is very interesting to me, and I've started to study this informally in social situations. When people are listening to someone and then their only response is interesting, to me that usually is their bullshitometer. They're just like, fuck this, no, there's something going on here, I don't like this, but I respect them, and I don't want to dive in and tear them down in front of other people. Interesting.
And interesting are
yeah.
spot on. I'll say also body language, right? So being introspective, if someone's saying something to me and I'm like, I'll give them some positive body language. I'll nod my head forward. Like, yes, right? But then my eyes might be going back and forth like, no. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Because I'm, and it's sort of like, and I might say, or something, but I would probably follow it up with a, like, I'm trying to process that. I'm trying to, it's clear that, you know, there's not agreement there right off the bat.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if we had a society where it was complete, or what we could call total honesty at all times? It would be a completely different, our civilization would not look at all what it looks like. I don't even know if I can envision what it would look like based on the paradigms we have in our head to make sense of that. We could have gone two ways. We could have just completely and utterly annihilated one another once our weaponry got big enough. So maybe with deception and all of that, there's something, maybe there's some self-preservation there.
I guarantee
some evolutionary, you know, preservation.
I mean, let's just talk about it from what it would be. So with business and in modern society, it's that same thing where these things we've evolved with now are being put to play in situations that aren't life and death.
Overused.
Where it used to be life and death. So I'd say, let's say we had a tribe that was outside of your own, and you guys were facing a common threat. That would be a great time to partner with them, right? Now, what would you say if you were brutally honest? You would say, look, this thing is going to kill us if we don't partner together, right? But I don't trust you. You're part of a different tribe. So we're going to partner together until we kill this thing, and then we can fight each other.
Right.
That would be the brutal honesty. But you would never say that last part. You would just say...
You'd just think it.
You would, yes. Both of them would be thinking it, but in the time, it's like, well, we have to survive this long.
Right. Survival mechanism.
Hey, we got to fight this thing. Let's fight this
thing. But then through the experience of fighting alongside, your thinking, that thought that you didn't share, can be changed because you're like, well, shit, man, I'm fighting. I might be dead if this dude wasn't here fighting with me. So then that can be changed. So
you're right. And you might
can and do change.
And you might, during that experience, build something that's true, build a bond that's true so that dissonance is no longer there. Or one person of the two could feel that dissonance is gone, and then the other person would murder him. Or, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, here's the crazy part about it is, like, if it was life and death like that, and this still happens in business, it's like, all right, we're fighting a common enemy, so we're going to band together through this. But then when that's over, then there's going to be a test of trust, a test of honesty on both sides.
Well, we're
that betrayal.
Happens all the time. I mean, yeah. We're seeing that right now at the biggest corporate level. Microsoft is partnered with Walmart to take on Amazon. They've publicly said that. So we're seeing that tribalism occur, and then we'll see the fallout, yeah. You know, in 5 to 10 years of what happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we just put a big business lens on this.
Yeah, I was going to say,
but
let's
doesn't
get away
change.
From business.
It doesn't change that. Here's the deal. It's like, first, you need to come to an honest situation with yourself, right? You have to have...
To me, that's the most important piece of everything we're talking about
yes.
today.
Yes. So you have to, like, one of the best ways to do this, in my opinion, is something that you're going through, right? With the 12-step programs.
I was just going to say, man, I had to finally be like, dude, you're an alcoholic. Like, quit drinking.
Yeah. And it's some... I mean, so there was something that in one of the sources that I took notes from today that said... That you should say this, you should say these things out loud. Whenever you identify problems with yourself, vulnerabilities in yourself, you need to have someone that you trust well enough, a mentor of sorts, that you can talk to and say what your demons are, what your problems are, like what it is that you're struggling with.
Well, and trust
you.
That they have no agenda to give you the answer. So I'm doing some research really quick. Can I tie this in one small
Please
point?
Do.
I'm researching the entrepreneurial ecosystem in St. Louis, basically how St. Louis can become a better talent magnet to get companies to start here and stay here. And one of the questions I'm asking is there anyone in this ecosystem that you can trust to give you difficult feedback and advice, constructive criticism, without having their own agenda? So it's asking all about what you're talking about, honesty and trust. So if people don't have that kind of person in their life, man, that's a kind of a very suspicious life you're living.
Well, that means you're not seeking it out.
Yeah.
And that means you're probably not being honest with yourself, and you don't have a good process for self-honesty. Because if you are being self-honest, that's the number one thing you're going to seek out is that person, that relationship, that mentor, that love, right? And here's the thing about it. You will be saying these things. You will be talking to that person with an undefended heart. So let me put it this way. I think that whenever we have a hard time being honest with ourselves, or sometimes when we're lying and we don't want to hear feedback from others that runs counter, it's that we're defending some vision of ourselves. That may not be true, and we're afraid that it may not be true. And we're trying to defend it, so we don't want to hear certain things. So we're coming at everything with an agenda, and we're telling people things that may not be true because we don't ever want to receive any kind of feedback that might challenge that vision of ourselves. Flip side, 100% self-honesty is when you're talking to a mentor or someone you love and you're saying, I have felt this way about myself in the past for however long. This has built my self-image. I've thought that this is who I am, what I am. And now I'm questioning it. And these are the problems I'm having that are making me question it, you know? And then you're undefended. You're saying, you're almost inviting them to tear down your existing self-image of yourself, which is so hard.
Well, yeah, it's very tough, especially if you think especially if you're living a life that you admire or you believe others admire. It's very tough.
Because if you lose that self-image of yourself that you've held for the last 5 years, then were those 5 years fake? And, well, then who am I now?
Right, but then that ties back to one of our previous episodes about the evolution of self and identity and social identity.
That's part of this honesty thing, man. That has to happen first if you're going to be honest with others, in my opinion.
Honesty is not, in Zach's opinion... Honesty is an espoused value in our society. And what that means is we slap it on bumper stickers and we'll put the honesty teamwork poster up on our walls. I don't believe it's really truly valued in our society. I think it's a spoken value, but not necessarily a lived value. And when it is lived, it's typically lived for the more selfish reasons rather than selfless reasons.
I'll counter that. And I'll say I think we really do value it. I'll say... Unfortunately, in the capitalist society that we live in, we have to be transactional outside of a really small bubble. And not only just the capitalist society, but the social media society that we've built requires us to do this as well. And so if I'm going to sum up what I would say is that self-honesty is the most important thing that you need. You need to get in a good place with yourself. We're almost out of time, so that's why I'm summarizing what I'm saying. Self-honesty requires us to take feedback from others, right, and receive it in an undefended manner and be thoughtful and considerate. Consider what they said, right? Now, you're going to get feedback from all kinds of sources, so you're going to have to make your judgment of who the source is and what you want to do with that feedback, right? But regardless of whether that feedback matches your self-image or not, you need to take it and consider it, right? Rather than at face value, compare it to your self-image. Nope, doesn't match it. Throw it out. No. Take it. If it doesn't match your self-image, then think about it. Who's the source? Have I heard this before? But ask yourself all these questions and truly and thoughtfully consider it.
So change that and make it more concise into a change challenge, because you said a lot there. Now, it's important, but it was fairly long, so boil it down to the most important nugget and give people a change challenge with that thought.
I feel that people automate things too much in their life. And so what I would say is, during your evening, do an evening journal and try to think about all the ways that you've received feedback about yourself in that day and just write them down. Whether or not you think it's true or not, write it down. Could be in an email, could be something somebody said to you. Could be, you know, something that you saw with yourself in a mirror.
Mirror, stepping on a scale. Feedback is any information you receive about yourself. Yeah.
And write it down. And do that for a period of time, however long you want, you know, a week, a month, whatever. And then go back and try to start circling repetitive things. And then decide what you're going to do about those things. Are these things that you're okay with? The ones that you're okay with, then great. Do you want to maximize that? Do you want to enhance the behavior that's causing that feedback? Great. On the flip side, what about the ones that you're not happy about, that you don't like? What are you going to do about those?
So this is a month-long change challenge.
It could just be a week.
Okay.
Yeah. It's up to the person doing it.
I'm just
exercise.
Being honest with you.
Well, it should
no
be
one will do
it.
Them.
Should be
it
a
should
life,
be a lifetime, life sure, long. But so yeah. Should eating healthy and exercising.
I know.
And communicating effectively.
I know.
Mine is that we've been focusing, just like we do in a good old capitalist society, on the speaker side of the relationship, on giving honesty, on being honest. I want you to think about receiving honesty. I want you to change something today or tomorrow in your communication style. So either how you say something or the emotions and expressions you're giving off when saying it, so that you act in a way that enables others to be more honest when they interact with you.
That's
so
hard.
I want you to enable others' honesty, which then ties into a little bit of what Dave was talking about with the feedback. So just ask yourself this. Am I truly an honesty enabler? Or do I constrain others' honesty? When I ask for something and I say, hey, I want your honest opinion, is that true or is that just something I'm saying? Do I ask questions in a way that are leading, or am I truly open and trying to listen to what people give me? So ask yourself that.
Okay, that's hard. I know we're almost out of time, but I feel
like... We are out of time.
Okay, well, we need to delve into that a little bit, because you can't just say, I'm looking for you to be honest with me, right?
No, I'm saying you train someone. You say, I'm having to make a difficult decision about this. I'm seeking input. What you give me right now, I'm not going to make my decision. I'm simply in the data collection phase. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's the question. Give me your thoughts. Great, thank you. That's it. I'm not making the decision right now. I'm going on to the next person to do the same thing. That's the disclaimer. You just say, I'm in data collection phase. Give me some data to help me make a good decision when I decide to make it. It's not being made in this moment. That's how I do it.
I think that's good. I think that's good. I was going down the road of, you have to be vulnerable. You have to tell them something. Here's something embarrassing that happened to me today. Now I'm going to ask you a question.
To me, that's very Machiavellian.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people would want to do. That to me, that's quid pro quo. And that's the opposite of honesty. That's, here's a fun mechanism I can use to get honesty out of them. What I was doing is saying, here's what I'm using your information for. I'm basing an important decision that will occur in the future. All I want is your information. You can't be offended if I make a decision that goes the opposite of the information you're about to share with me.
Yeah, I love the way that
to me is radical candor.
I love your approach. my approach, if it was done in a transactional manner, like I'm going to give them something vulnerable, then I'm going to ask them a question and hope that they feel that they can be honest with me. No. What I was meaning is it would be much better to build an open and honest relationship with them first and then answer the question. But building that relationship takes too much time in most instances when we're talking about business and capitalism and transactional things. Okay. I like your approach. So for the change challenge, reiterate
feedback
yours.
That Dave's talking about, journal, go back and almost code it, reread it, and then try to change a behavior that you see that you don't like or reinforce one that you do like. And then ask yourself, do I enable others to be honest, or do I, you know, ask things and seek information in a way that constrains truly honest opinions?
And when you're seeking out that truly honest opinion, do it with the method that you just described. That's sure. A good approach.
Yeah. Okay. I call it the disclaimer method.
Let me say the last
sure,
thing.
Sure, go ahead.
So mine was all about self-honesty. And now let me say, once you feel that you've got a good handle on self-honesty, then focus on being honest with others and understand that that requires a balance. The goal should be to give them what they need from a place of love, right? Not what they always want. And sometimes this is going to require giving them more honesty than they are ready for. And sometimes, and most times, it'll involve giving them less. And often you're going to be off the mark in your judgment, but just be okay with that. As long as you're coming from a place of love and you're trying to tailor your message from that place of love, then in the end, it'll work out better.
That's what I agree. That's nice. Awesome. Well, we did not keep it to 30, but we're going to end at about less than 36. So as we say at Life Lab,
experiment with life.